Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette CD series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. Radio advertising is a whole lot like the Yellow Pages. The person you talk to at the local station is 110% convinced that if you place ads on their station, your company will see dramatic increases in sales. Again, like Yellow Pages, that can be the case, but often is not. We have a special treat this month. Joe Lowe has been on the station side of the equation for a lot of years, but this month he's going to jump over the fence and share with us both the pros and the cons of using radio advertising. After listening to this tape, you should have a really good feel for whether radio advertising is for your company or not. Education is a valuable asset, and this month you'll be armed with enough good information to make your own decisions concerning using radio advertising for your company. Most of us know Joe Lowe from previous tapes he has done, but if you happen to be a new listener, you need to know that Joe Lowe has been a radio TV personality for over 30 years. He opened Joe Lowe Productions in 1997 and specializes in advertising and marketing for small, local, and regional businesses. Many people know Joe, or at least his voice, from ESPN and TNN as the voice of the United States Hot Rod Association. Mr. Lowe's company produces radio and television advertising campaigns and personalized telephone on-hold and answering machine recordings for clients throughout the United States and Canada. Now, let's sit back, relax, and in about 45 minutes, you should have a really good feel for whether radio advertising fits into your company's overall marketing plan or not.
Hello, and welcome to the do's and don'ts of using radio advertising. Now, that's a pretty tall order, and I probably could go on for 2, 3, 4, or 5 days, not hours, on this one. But we're going to try to pare it down to about 30 minutes or less. And hopefully, at the end of this, while you may not be an advertising expert, I possibly can give you some ideas on how to avoid the pitfalls of radio advertising that so many individuals seem to fall into. See, radio advertising is very, very simple. It's like every other type of advertising. It has one purpose and one purpose only. It must get results. Business. It must get jobs. You know, the stuff that puts money in your pocket? That's the one and only reason to spend money on advertising. Everything else, the groups that are out there, they're saying, hey, put a sign up for this or buy shirts for this or support the bowling league or whatever. That's all great, but it's not advertising. And we can do a whole show on that. That's called charity. That's called helping out in the community. And it's not really advertising. There are many ways to get your name out in public without spending money on advertising. But for the sake of this program, we're going to assume that you've determined to spend or to make that investment in your company with radio advertising. So let's put everything else aside. What should you do first? Well, by saying what you should do first, I'm going to start by with a don't. What you don't want to do is be the town's leading heating and air conditioning company and come up with a radio advertising that goes, Sunday, 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 it's the biggest air conditioning sale of the year, and you've got to be there. You'll save more than you'll spend. Be there this Sunday. You don't want to do that. What are you going to do? You're going to drive everybody away. They're going to laugh. They're going to giggle. They're probably not going to remember you. What should you do first? Well, you need to do a little bit of homework. You should determine what you should advertise. It's pretty simple. In June, July, and August, in my part of the country, you advertise air conditioning. November, December, January, you're advertising heating. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about what should you advertise. Should you advertise a brand name? Bottom line is, people don't care about brand names. Should you advertise service? Hey, there's a unique thought. Maybe you should advertise service. Should you advertise cleanliness, efficiency? Yes, yes. Ability to get the job done? Should you advertise testimonials from people that you've worked for before? Yeah. Length of time in the business? Now you're starting to get the hang of it, okay? Where should you advertise? Oh, boy. Where should you advertise? Well, You should advertise where the listeners are, but not just all the listeners. You should advertise where the listeners are that are going to use your product or service. I live in Owensboro, Kentucky. We have about seven stations that reach somewhere around 30 to 40, maybe 50,000 listeners. The most popular is the modern country station. Then there's a rock station. And then there's the talk stations. Now, if I'm selling Lincolns or Cadillacs or some high-end vehicle, what should I choose? Well, we have to look at something called ratings and demographics. You see, that's how real people buy. Radio stations work in demographics. Nothing wrong with that. Each station has a profile of their average listener. An audience could be females, 25 to 54. Could be college-educated, maybe not. Could be the people that have high-income, low-income. But if we're selling those Lincolns, those Cadillacs, we probably would want to go with, well, maybe the talk station. Because when we look at the income of the people who listen to talk radio, we know their income is in excess of, say, $50,000 to $60,000 a year. The modern country station has a lot of listeners, but the average income is only $20,000 to $25,000 a year. Now, when you look at that, you also can break that down a little bit. Let's see who's a homeowner, who's a renter, that sort of thing. Now, if you know that 3 out of 5 listeners that listen to talk radio are homeowners with an average income of $50,000 to $60,000 a year, and they're 25 to 54, and you know that on the country station that only 2 out of 7 people own their own home, and you know that only about 3 out of 10 people are over the age of 30, or have an income over $30,000 to $40,000 a year, things begin to change a little bit. Now, which station would you use to sell your heating or air conditioning unit, your Lincoln Continental, maybe the kids' clothes? See, it's all in what you're trying to sell, and that's where you should advertise. You should determine when you should advertise. When you should advertise is very, very important. Not just the time of the year, but time of day. Undoubtedly, morning time is best for radio. Second best would be afternoon drive. Third best, well, that sort of gets a little funny depending on the demographic that you're looking at. Sometimes it's middays, sometimes it's evenings. And in some markets, it's overnight. Believe it or not, in some markets it's overnight, where there's a lot of factories that do shift work and things like that. The overnight hours have a lot of listeners. And there's also things like, when would people use your service most? Things like that. So you really should spend a little time on when you should advertise. And last but not least, determine how you should advertise. Now, these 5 things are very important, and you'll be amazed how many people will spend their hard-earned money on commercials that give very, very little information, if any at all, about their product or about their business or even, and this has happened more often than you would believe, how to find or contact them. People actually forget to give their address or give their phone number or give their website address. In this day of radio groups where one salesperson sells for several different radio stations and in one or more markets, it's very easy for the small advertiser to get lost in the shuffle, too. So don't let this happen to you. Demand service. And remember, let your instincts be what guides you on spending your money. Now, speaking of that, I want to address something here right now, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But don't do it yourself. Let me ask you, how many times have you heard some car dealer or store owner trying to do their own commercials? Usually it's something they think is really funny, turns out to be, well, just plain dumb. Or it's obvious they're just reading copy. It's not in their own words. It sounds robotic if they can get through it at all. Why people do this is beyond me. You run a professional organization. You spend hundreds, thousands of dollars trying to keep that organization looking good and professional. You better have a professional radio image, too. Have the experts do it. The radio experts don't try to do your job. Don't you do theirs. I mean, it's just the way things are. You wouldn't want me operating on your child and taking their appendix out. No. Why? Because I wouldn't do a good job. Think about that before you go ahead and try to do your own commercials. I can think of a couple of instances that have just occurred, and these are so embarrassing sometimes. We had a gentleman who was running for an office of sheriff, and he was talking about his worthy opponent, who, by the way, I don't like doing this knock-your-opponent stuff either way, but he was talking about how everything his opponent had talked about was innuenders and concoctations. Now, I'm not too sure what innuenders and concoctations were, but one thing for sure, he sure didn't come off sounding like the sharpest knife in the drawer. Sound more like somebody whose elevator not only didn't leave the first floor, it never went anywhere but down. And guess what? He lost the election. Put thousands and thousands of dollars into it. We had yet another one, and this gentleman was running for a pretty high office in the state of Kentucky, but yet his commercials talked about bioterrorism. You know that bioterrorism that has inflicted this country since September 11th? Yeah. Did him a lot of good, too. Oh, by the way, he is not going to be the next Commissioner of Agriculture in the state of Kentucky. I don't think the bioterrorism folks really cared one way or the other. Well, those are just some of the things that we've found through the years that just people do day in and day out. You must spend as much time reviewing all aspects of advertising as much as you did at least to make the money to pay for it. It's amazing to me that people will spend weeks and weeks working to make the money to spend on advertising and then just throw it away. Yeah, just advertise something for me. Let me know what you want to do there, and we'll just do it. That's just fine. That sounds fine to me. Spend some time on it. Work on the content. Too often, something that works for someone else will not work for you. And I mentioned doing your own commercials. Usually, there's one or two people in every market that can do their own commercials. And those one or two people usually are in different industries. I've also done a tape in this series that talks about becoming the expert in the market. That's the person that can go on talk radio, buy a segment of time, or maybe sometimes be allotted a segment of time on a radio station, and give out incredible information that's concise, to the point, easy to understand, and they set themselves up as the expert in the market. But there's only one person that can be an expert in a market. When you get two or three, it sounds like Ned and the first grade reader. You know, pick me. And that doesn't work either. The same thing with the guys that dress up and dress their families up and all that kind of stuff. That's, I don't know. And you'll always see the fellow who decides it's real cute to have his grandkids do the commercials, or to have his daughter do the commercials, or his son do the commercials. And those are all wonderful, and those are all feel-good things, but don't pass them off as advertising. Matter of fact, when all else fails, remember that one basic business principle that works for everybody: keep it simple. I'm not going to finish that sentence, but keep it simple. Matter of fact, the Canadian Business Service Centers actually put out, and I think they do this quarterly, a do and don't list of advertising. And some of those are areas that really don't affect here and don't affect all over. But many of these are pretty accurate and work in anybody's situation. And I'm going to read a couple of those to you right now. Do avoid the disclaimers. You know, you have to do some of those. Try to get around having to do that. Don't advertise a price or a low percentage rate if you have to do all that disclaimer stuff. It annoys people. You'll find radio personalities that do the spots for you will try to do that stuff in funny ways, and they'll do them fast because it's so much legalese. Nobody understands it. It really distracts from everything. So try to stay away from that if you possibly can. Do fully and clearly disclose all material information in the advertisement. Now, I personally don't think you need to give price, because many times we get price, you're forced to give as low as, and we all try to make it sound as low as, and what happens is we know very, very few people, if any at all, are going to get that as low as price. But if you're forced to do it, Be sure you let them know everything that is included and is not included. Don't mislead them in any way, shape, or form. Matter of fact, the best thing to do is to go overboard on that kind of stuff. If you're going to do it, go overboard on it. Do avoid using terms and phrases in an advertisement or a radio spot that's not meaningful or is not clear to the ordinary person. You know, things like high volume and low vapor output and your cattywampus on the thing, you know, all that kind of fine print stuff. Nobody understands that stuff, and it confuses the issue. Do ensure that you have a reasonable amount of whatever it is you're selling and advertising at a bargain price on hand. Nothing's worse than saying, hey, we have this, come and get it, and come to find out you can't even get it from your supplier. That's really, really bad, a big weakness. And those type of things really work against you because while people may not talk about what a wonderful ad they heard of yours on the radio, that spot was fantastic, the advertisement, they won't say that. They will sure say, did you know that Bill's Service Center said they would come over and they'd do a preseason checkup on my air conditioning system for $39.95. When they came over to my place, it was $89.95. And then they told me I needed a new furnace and wanted another $3,000, even though you hadn't even given them a price quote yet. That happens. Happens more often than not. And whatever you spent for that radio spot, $3, $6, $30, $60, it really doesn't make any difference because it just worked against you. And everything you put into it worked to work against you. Bad stuff. Don't confuse regular price and ordinary price with the manufacturer's suggested price. That stuff is just so confusing. Just, hey, right now we've got a great sale on, and we have, 17, 18, 30 furnaces in the area in our warehouse. We need to get rid of them, and we're dropping the price right now. Those terms, regular price, ordinary price, manufacturer's price, they are confusing, and sometimes they can get you in some legal problems, too. Don't use the words sale or special in relation to the price of a product unless a significant price reduction has occurred. Don't run a sale for a long period of time. I've heard one guy in our market that's been running a sale on men's suits since January. If he hasn't sold them since January, and by the way, we're recording this the end of May and early June. If he hasn't sold them by now, chances are he's not going to sell them. I may have to give those to Goodwill, and they may throw them back. He just made a bad purchase. Don't repeat that same sale every week, too, because then what you find is people, you know, they run that every other week. People pay attention to that stuff. How many times do the ladies out there say, you know, they'll run that steak special in 2 weeks. They know when Pepsi is on sale. They know when Coke is on sale because they do it at a certain time. So the same thing is true with your radio advertisements. Matter of fact, I think we ought to stay away from that sales stuff totally because we are a service industry. Let's stay away from that sale. We can offer package prices. We'll come and check that heating and air conditioning. It will do this and then this. And then you have to say what's included in that, or most normal or whatever you want to do. But be sure that you're not getting too confusing. Don't make a performance claim unless you can prove it, even if you think it's accurate. Testimonials usually do not amount to adequate proof. They sound good. They're nice, warm and fuzzies. And you know, hey, let's face it, if Bobby Smith and his wife were real happy with the job you did and you were clean and you were neat, and you guys got in and out, that's great. But don't let them say, you know, they're the cheapest by 20%. Then you're going to have to prove it. Don't sell a product above your advertised price. Never, ever, 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 ever. Sometimes this really gets us in trouble when the national advertisement comes out and you're selling it for a different price because of whatever the reason may be. Maybe you don't know about it. Maybe you don't know about the nationally advertised price. Maybe you didn't open up that piece of mail. That's very, very important. Be sure you know what you're advertising and you know what's being sold for. You got to check out all that stuff and know what's happening. I mentioned earlier about humor. Humor can have some serious pitfalls. Don't use convoluted or overpowering humor. Keep it simple. Don't let the humor detract from your message or your brand. Don't dress up in a clown suit. I'm sorry, I don't feel comfortable having a clown coming and working on the heating and air conditioning that hopefully is going to keep my family comfortable and not kill them, you know? If your competition uses humor, don't. Don't. There's this talk about the laser eye surgery guy that was using some funny stuff in his head. Well, the competition actually capitalized on it by suggesting that there's nothing funny about eye surgery. It backfired on the first company. It could backfire on you. Don't make your customer the butt of the joke. If the person that's listening perceives himself or herself to be laughed at, the experience is one of shame or embarrassment rather than good humor, and nobody buys stuff from somebody that embarrasses them. And remember, you're in this for the long haul. A lot of times, service industry does something called institutional advertising. And we're going to talk about that because I think that's where the key to radio advertising lies in the service industry. Institutional advertising is a bit of a different animal. You're not advertising price. You're not advertising sales. You're not advertising you must do it now. You're advertising the service, the fact that you're there. And what you're trying to do is get the most bang for your buck by getting mentions. You see, radio advertising works on the psyche. You don't have to be reading it. You don't have to be watching it. You don't have to be intently concentrating on it. It's subliminal. So if they hear your name, if they hear the phone number, if they associate your name with heating and air conditioning, with plumbing, with whatever the service might be, after a while, you're the one they're going to look to. It's called institutional advertising. No one cares really and truly what brand it is. No one cares about the price in institutional advertising. It's getting your name out there as often as possible, and repetition is the key. You deserve a break today. Everybody knows it because McDonald's spent millions of dollars getting that tune heard by everybody over and over again. And still, there's so many people, and if you're like I am and have a little age on you, when I go, tastes good like a, right, it's Winston. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should, because institutional advertising went over and over and over again and proved the point. So look at that. Last but not least, let's talk about something we all love, saving money. Now, we're still talking about buying radio advertising, but one of the do's you should, remember the should's the do's that you have to do? You have to add to that list, spend your money wisely. Compare the cost of advertising. A 30-second spot, say, against a 60-second commercial. Now, one 60-second commercial is usually about 20 to 30% more than a 30-second spot. Use 60s whenever possible if you have something to talk about. That's a key there. You must have something to talk about. Don't just repeat the same thing over and over again. People get tired of it. Now, it may be possible to trade some product for advertising time. Every radio station I know has a heating or air conditioning system or a bathroom that every once in a while has problems or things like that. Stations are always looking for promotional items and giveaways. They may trade all or part of your time, that sort of thing. Radio is the best value for the small business person to get the word out over and over and over again. Do your homework and make it work for you. Remember, it can work for you if you remember the do's and don'ts of radio advertising. What should you do? Well, you should advertise, but determine what you're going to advertise. Determine where you're going to advertise it. Remember, we talked about that. Where are the people listening that are most likely to use your service or product? Determine when you should advertise. And I can't answer that for you. That's something you're going to have to research the market a little bit. Determine how you should advertise. Remember, if nobody else is doing it in the market and you feel comfortable doing your own commercials, that's fine. If not, let somebody else do it. The one thing I want you to steer away from, if at all possible, is the stock ads that a lot of manufacturers will sell you where you're on the end of it and it says, you know, this so-and-so air conditioner is brought to you, or, you know, is I don't want to say brought to you, that's not right. This so-and-so air conditioner is available in wherever you are, Tuscaloosa, at so-and-so. Well, you know what? Not too many people are buying a brand name on things anymore. They're starting to find out the brand names really don't mean a whole lot. There are a couple of exceptions to that rule. And really, what you're doing then is you're paying for just that little tag on the end. And that thing can get pretty hefty. A lot of times they jump you and lump you in with others. And let me tell you, when you have three or four or five of you at the end of a radio commercial saying, get the Bryant air conditioner at da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you're just lost in the mix, and there's really nothing special there. So that's one thing that if the money's there and if they're doing it for you, that's great. But if not, don't spend your money in it. Okay, so we've determined what you should advertise. We've determined where, when, and how. Those things will help you a whole lot. Then when we get into the don'ts, I've mentioned it over and over again, don't do your own commercial if you're not comfortable with it. Don't try to be funny if, in fact, you're not, or what you're talking about is not funny. Don't ask your friends or loved ones or employees if they think your commercial is working. It's a big don't, because you know what? They'll always tell you it's good. My wife and my kids have never told me that I did something bad on the radio or bad on television. They never say that. Why? Because they love you. Because they care. The people that that care about you, they're not going to tell you those negative things. And those negative things are what you need to hear. Don't do what everyone else does. If everyone else is doing the same type of commercial, try to find something that's different. But don't buy jingles. Jingles are expensive. A good jingle, the You Deserve a Break Today thing, was not cheap. Barry Manilow wrote it. It was not cheap. But there are a lot of people out there selling you jingles that are inexpensive. They're cheap. Why? Because they're cheaply done, and because everyone else has one. It's not a good reason to buy a jingle. If you have something you can use for years and years and years that's going to hang with you, that's fine. But if it's just something that you're going to use for a year or so, get rid of it. You're spending a lot of time getting people used to that that jingle, that song, and then you dump it at the end. That doesn't work. Make sure your name, address, and phone number are all mentioned. But when you do that, and I'd like to see you do it, a good rule of thumb is try to mention it three times in a 60-second commercial. But when you're doing your name, your address, your phone number, and all that kind of good stuff, and now websites, remember, not everybody that's listening knows when you say, and we're conveniently located right across from Barney's Big Pig. They may not know that Barney has a Big Pig. They may not know what Barney's Big Pig is. So be sure you tell them about a couple of landmarks, but also give them the street address. Corners are good, too. You can say right off the bypass at 2nd and Sycamore. Pretty easy to find. That way you can ask somebody. But, you know, rolling down your window when you're driving looking for a place and asking, where's Barney's Big Pig? Unless they know, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And, of course, you don't want to be advertising a heating business in the middle of the summertime when it's 150 degrees outside. And conversely, you don't want to be talking about air conditioning when people are shoveling snow. Those are the simple things. Some do's and don'ts. And if you have a question, ask a professional. Somebody that does this day in and day out. What they tell you might not be fancy, might not be glitzy, it might not have all the lights of Vegas. But I guarantee you, it's going to work a lot better than some of the other stuff that's out there that is glitzy, and you spend a lot of money and get very little results. And above all, more than anything else, let's go back to the very first thing we talked about on this tape, and this is the most important thing. Make sure you're getting the return for your advertising dollar. If it didn't work 1 year, don't go back and do the exact same thing the next year. Now, radio stations are notorious for offering you a deal, like you and your family can go on a cruise or a vacation or whatever if you spend X number of dollars. And they hook you. They get you. It's sort of like the Yellow Pages, you know. You buy one ad, one size ad 1 year. The next year, if you up that size of the ad, you get a discount on the difference in price. And before you know it, you got a full page, and bingo. Then you pay in the full boat. Same thing with radio advertising. You spend $3,000 1 year. Hey, you spend $3,000 with us. You've never spent it with us before. We'll give you a cruise at the end of the first quarter. Next year, guess what? It's $4,000 or $5,000. And before you know it, you're not even checking to see if that advertising's working. You're trying to spend the money for the cruise. You can go on a nice cruise for about $3,000, by the way. And check that advertising. If it's not working, try something else the next year. I like to review everything every quarter. Every quarter is a good way to look at it, and then sort of judge things, see what's working, ask questions, if a certain campaign didn't seem to work for you, ask some questions from other people and try to find out why. Perhaps it was the time you advertised. Perhaps it was the station, the way the commercial was done. There are a lot of different ways. And, you know, believe it or not, there are some stations out there that everybody thinks that people listen to, but they cram so many commercials in a stop set. That's where they stop down the music or the talk or whatever and go into what they call a commercial cluster. If your commercial is constantly in the middle of those, nobody's going to listen. They hear maybe the first few words of the first commercial and the last few words of the last commercial. But unless it's something that really stands out, and a lot of times local commercials are not put in the beginning or the end of one of those stop sets, it's going to get lost. But there's some reason that those commercials aren't working. Try another tactic, but you can only find out if they're working or not working by asking questions and seeing what people's perceptions are. And everybody knows that things work cyclically. What works one time doesn't work the next. So remember, you got to change things up just a little bit, but always keep the basics. And above all, be honest. I do want to thank you for listening today. Hopefully we've given you some ideas that will help you in advertising and promoting your business. And hopefully that investment in advertising will turn into dollars in your pockets and everybody will be successful. And remember, that's what it's all about anyhow. So have a good one. And please, please remember, the key to advertising is putting as much into it as you intend to get out of it and expect a lot.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's tape. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. Better yet, check out Grandy & Associates on the World Wide Web. Our totally redesigned website now has a complete listing of all the products and services Grandy & Associates has to offer. Our address is www.grandyassociates.com, and it is also printed on the tape insert. Again, our website address is www.grandyassociates.com. As a reminder, our 3-day basic business boot camp is taking the industry by storm. For more information, check out our website or give us a call for a free 4-page flyer on the boot camp that provides all the details. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.